and welcome to the Trash Tapes Podcast as part of the Enigmatic Productions Network. If you love bad cinema and incredible deep dives into cult film, then you have come to the right place. So if you like what you hear and want to support us, you can do so by donating some funds to our Buy Me a Coffee website, along with the Acast supporter feature. All of these can be found in the description below. And now, on with the show.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay, right. Whenever you're ready, I'm ready. Let me just have my tea.
I'm recording. So these are the bits that you can sometimes use. When
I usually
pre-title bits.
I usually do, or I just get
tea slurps.
Oh, good grief.
It's cold out there, so it's good to have a bit of tea.
This is a funny thing. I remember the very first episode we did, and the first opening was just us doing ASMR of like slurping noises and stuff like that. Velcro,
rubbing balloons.
Mm. Oh god!
No, the first ever episode opened with you chomping on onion rings.
I know, right? Oh man, back in the day, good times.
Look, there is none of that today, but budget. You get tea slurps instead.
Yeah.
Right, let's kick this off.
Boys, stop watching that trash.
One man's trash is another man's torture. Starring Johann Chappal as the inflictor of pain and Edward Harvey as the victim. From Studio Enigmatic comes the Trash Tapes.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Trash Tapes, where one man's trash is another man's torture. I am your host and the inflictor of pain, Johann Chappal, and I am here with my victim, as per usual, Edward Harvey. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Nice, good. So we're kind of in a bit of a it's a bit different today, I think, because this is actually something I've been promising you for a while.
Yeah.
Right? In case you haven't noticed, this is now November, and it's been a while, because one of the first things we said, but the problem that we need from the very first episode is, do not worry, there will be ninjas. And
you gotta have ninjas.
I know, and I kind of failed you on that part. I failed you, like, why have we not watched a ninja movie?
Kept me in suspense, man. Ninja suspense.
But you know what? Because this is going to be an introduction to a new thing, right? If this podcast keeps going on and go for every year and so on, we're going to have something called Ninja November, or Ninjember, which I like. I think we're going to do. Every November, we're going to watch a ninja movie. Garin flipping
teed. Why not?
Right? But anyway, just before we kind of kick off with a few things, a podcast at the minute, things have been expanding and trying new things out at the minute. Mm. So if anyone's been following us on social media, thank you very much on that. Our Instagram, we're now doing IGTVs now more often, which is quite good. If those who don't know, that Instagram now seems to have its very own sort of like YouTube TV service, which is really kind of cool. So if you subscribe to us on that way, you can do that as well. We're also keeping ourselves busy by being on Spotify. We're getting ourselves on iTunes, Acast, and a whole bunch of different places. Mm. So
everywhere, all the podcast platforms, we're there now. Aren't we?
We're there now. Mm. So it doesn't feel like we have to conquer anything now. We just need to get the people to listen.
Yeah.
Should we just do like a world tour? We're just shouting at a band saying, listen to us now!
We need Trash Tapes t-shirts.
Oh, fuck yeah. Next Nick's merch. We're going to get a whole bunch of merch.
You were sporting the Trash Tape sunglasses today in
this
our Trash Taster, which is now called Trash Taster, isn't it? Because we used to do videos for YouTube called Trash Takes Behind the Scenes.
Yeah.
We've kind of rebranded a little bit, and it's similar, but it's kind of got more of a rating system now, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've got rating systems. We're going to be changing it to somewhat. It's not really a review, but it's more like, this is what we have, and this is where we think the movie is, right?
It basically gets you ready for the podcast.
Exactly, because that means if you haven't seen the Trash Taster little video YouTube thing before you come on here, you're going to be coming completely blind. But don't worry, we'll fill you in just nicely. And that's because now I'm going to put on the infamous sunglasses, because we're going to watch the most 80s as fuck movie of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, the movie we are discussing is Miami Connection.
Yay!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We have a special treat for you today. We have a new house band with a new dimension in rock and roll. We have the one, the only, Dragon Sound!
This band is the only family I have.
They're all black belts in taekwondo and they're pretty bad.
I don't want you to mess it up by going out with a second-rate musician like that John character.
They came in here to play goddamn songs for kids!
Not escape the Miami Ninja!
Boss, everybody's dead!
I'd not heard this movie at all, but I'm just glad that it's brought it into my life.
I know. Okay, but this is the thing, right? Not a lot of people have heard this movie because it was rediscovered, right? Mm. And this is what I love about these kind of bad movies. A lot of bad movies fall under the wayside, right?
Yeah.
Like, they fall into nothing and you had no idea. This one clearly wasn't heard of for a long time. And it's because it's got for genuinely good reason for it. Now, the way I describe the plot in a very basic sense before we actually break down the history of what Miami Connection is, what is this marvel of cinema? And all I said to you is, it's about a bunch of orphans.
Orphans.
Orphans. There are a bunch of orphans who are also orphans, which sounds like some kind of fish.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Who are also all university students, even though clearly some of them look like they're in their 40s. Mm. Who are also masters of taekwondo. Who are also in an electro 80s rock band, right? And they're fighting against a rival band who are also in a gang, who are connected to a bunch of drug dealers, who are also bikers, who are also ninjas.
This is like an 8-year-old has thought of a movie. It's like, yeah, I want all these things that I love in a film.
That's what it is. Yeah. Exactly. Right? So this movie is sporadic and I love it for it, okay? Sure, is this movie like the perfect bad movie? No. Is this movie like almost... There are moments where we'll say in a minute, there are little moments where we got a little frustrated, but I'll say one thing right now. This is such a weird cornucopia of just everything 80s and everything ninja and everything...
The soundtrack is amazing.
I know. I want to know out there if there's a vinyl record of it. Because if there is a vinyl record of it, that's going in my collection right the fuck now. Because it is awesome. It's hard to show on a podcast. My head's banging at the minute. It's a song about fighting ninjas. Like, is this a regular thing? Oh, I love it. These guys are gonna stop the evil ninjas using the power of taekwondo. And that's in a song. What the fuck? It's awesome.
Yeah, they're revealing all their plans.
I know! It's like if this was a record and it was sold out, and people are saying, don't go near them, we should stop them now, they know taekwondo! Oh, man, the ninja gang would be hearing this and thinking, you know what, they're already just giving their battle plans. You don't know how to process this, don't you?
I really don't. I'm loving it, though. It's brilliant.
I love it. Oh, sexy eye right there. Yeah! Ed was some pyro! Not even big bands have fucking pyro. Where did Dragon Sound get fucking pyro?
I don't know whether, like, sort of clubs are like that in America, but, like, yeah. It's like in Purple Rain, this epic, like, club with, like, pyrotechnics and kind of lighting and kind of, like, it's just like a nightclub which shows bands, but they've got this epic kind of stage show.
I know. Sometimes they're bigger than some other actual big bands. You're thinking, where the fuck did you get this? Especially them being orphaned college students who also know Taekwondo.
Soundtrack's actually fucking wicked.
I know! The sound.
And the score, like.
The score, the songs, they're all just like kind of level of pure 80s synthwave awesome.
Ooh.
Like, if I was hearing this walking down the street, I would instantly feel like a badass. Like, 100%. Fuck, I love it. This fight for fucking justice and peace. Okay, name the songs are called. Maybe the titles are also on the nose as well. Escape from Miami. I Love You.
Tough Guys.
Tough Guys. You know? Taekwondo Family. Fucking hell. Oh, those are the main four. Against the Ninja, of course, that's my personal favourite. Friends, because they all are. Bloody hell. And yeah. Even the song titles are on the nose. I am so happy. Soundtrack, instant win.
Do you want to stop it now? Or?
But well, hold up. Yeah, okay, I'm done now. I had to wait to have the 80s play out of my system.
So let's talk about what the Miami Connection is and whether or not you should totally get involved 100% into this. So Miami Connection is a movie from 1987. It is an independently funded martial arts film starring YK Kim. Right now, YK Kim, he is basically the master of Taekwondo.
Yeah.
He is like he was the one who clearly he's supposed to be an orphan and a university student. But he's clearly like in his mid to late 30s, right?
Yeah.
He looks so old. It doesn't match, right? Now, he originally wrote and produced a feature, right? And there's a lot of reasons how this came about. He came from South Korea, yeah? So this man came from South Korea, and he went to America in the 1970s,
yeah?
During that time, in about 10 to about 15 years or so in between, so from the 70s to 80s, he became America's key Taekwondo master, opening dojos all over the place, right?
All right, cool.
So he was the man of Taekwondo at the time, right? Mm. But no one cared about Taekwondo. Everyone cared about Kung Fu and shit, right? So no one really like, Taekwondo, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Right? Now, he went to South Korea and had a talk show. He went to do a talk show sort of thing, right? And a director called Woo Pang Park, or nicknamed Richard Park,
yeah,
right, saw him. And said, I want to put you in a movie, right? So
why wouldn't you think that?
Why wouldn't you?
He is great at Taekwondo, and he looks great on screen when he's fighting.
He is actually, out of all the fight scenes and stuff, all of the stuff him in it, he's good at it. Mm. It's not like when people are very sloppy fights. There are others which are sloppy fights, but he was the best thing in it,
yeah.
Right? So the producer and the director said, I want to make a movie with you, but clearly didn't think about budget or anything, you know, or any of that kind of malarkey, right? So it got to the point where it almost got him bankrupt. Kim borrowed money from his friends, took loans, spent all of his savings, and even mortgaged some of his Taekwondo schools in order to get the film funded.
Oh, it sounds like it's quite a sad story.
This is actually quite tragic.
Yeah.
Right? Altogether, that movie cost $1 million.
Right.
Which I can see there's some production value.
Yeah. That's quite a lot, though, for what you saw on screen.
I know, right?
It seems quite a lot. It seems like it would be under $1 million.
Park capitalised after watching the interview and said, right, we're going to do this and so on and get everyone else involved and so on, right? But
because he had no idea of how to make a movie, he just went along with it for the first half of it.
Yeah.
When Kim saw the first cut of the movie, right, Richard Park already left to South Korea, and Kim hated it. Mm. To the point, and I love this, he then decided to reshoot half the movie himself.
Right.
Now, he has never made a movie in his life. He doesn't even know how to write a script. So he got some of the cast members, who are actually, the majority of the cast members are all people from his Taekwondo school.
Yeah.
Right? Who've also never made a movie in his life, their life, to learn how to script write.
God.
And to write the next half of the movie. Okay. And
seems a really odd situation.
It's really, really complex, right? He eventually went to film distributors and stuff like that and everything else. It even got shown in Cannes, right?
Right.
It got shown.
How did he do that?
I don't know. But it got shown in Cannes in 1987, trying to find, you know, distributors and stuff, right? But a lot of the distributors were not happy with the movie for several reasons, as we saw on the screen.
Yeah.
It's not great, right? But one of them is, for example, like the ending was actually more of a downer note and a few other things like that. So it's like, right, we need to film a new part of the ending. So it got reshot again with extra fights. So this movie was shot 3 times.
So how was it supposed to end then? Do you know? Or?
I know how the ending was supposed to be. Spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about the ending eventually. But spoiler alert, Jimmy dies.
Oh.
What a downer ending is that? Right? So he died. And it's like, that's too down. So they had to rewrite the ending to give it a happier ending, as well as add an extra fight scene or two to give him more context. Stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
And all this was because Kim wanted to make a movie at the beginning of this, right at the beginning, that was supposed to help promote Taekwondo and world peace.
Right.
Which is why the bit at the very end of the movie says, if we can find a way to destroy violence, we can somehow finally achieve world peace.
Yeah, it seems like a massive contradiction there, because there's so much violence in this movie.
This movie is gory. And this movie, like, the guys are supposed to be like, we're going to do this, we're going to travel the world with our music to solve world, you know, for peace and shit, are beating up everyone.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so odd. And it was funny, actually, when I was watching the movie, because I couldn't, when you're thinking of arcs of characters.
Yes.
The main sort of rock band sort of heroes.
Yes.
You can't think of where they're going to go, A to B. Like, these ninjas just come across them and don't like them.
Yeah, it's very random, isn't it? And this is clearly why, because the script has been rewritten about 3 times and reshot 3 times and made a mess.
Yeah.
Right? Now, when this movie was finally launched, right, it was launched, it had a premiere in West Germany, of all places, and then it had a couple of places all over the place, but it was so critically panned, it was out of cinemas in 3 weeks. And then Kim was so ashamed of it, right, that the movie just disappeared from the ether and was never seen from again.
Yeah.
Until 25 years later, when on eBay, the person who now distributes the movie, called Draft House Cinemas, right, who are part of the Alamo Draft House, which is a cinema chain in America, found this reel of a movie they never heard of and bought it off eBay for about $50.
Is that like a drive-in movie type guy? Like, I imagine it being a hit on sort of like the midnight movie kind of.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
So he found this movie never heard of, saw it, thought it was the best movie he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And then tried to ask Kim, who's also the producer and all that, to see if it's all right to screen it and to do a re-edit and screen this movie in a midnight screening. And the film, right, and the thing is, Kim then said no, because Kim generally thought, Kim, like, you know, it broke him. He lost all his money. He's ashamed of the outcome. This movie did not create world peace. So he was, him being like a motivational speaker and all this, just said no. He just scrapped it and just made a great career for himself until this came back, right?
Yeah.
So he thought all these requests suddenly of people wanting to do interviews with him because this movie suddenly got popular after screening were jokes and an insult to him.
Yeah. It is a tragic story, isn't it?
It is.
Like, he's so ashamed of it that he couldn't believe that people would actually like it.
Yeah. And then finally, after midnight screenings of this movie was starting to happen and it's starting to get popular again, Kim finally had an interview and talked about the movie. And now all the members of the cast and crew now have a bit of a tongue-in-cheek enjoyment of this thing. And now they're very much involved in it. They really love it now. In fact, there's even a reunion of Dragon Sound. There's a concert.
So good.
So it does have a happy ending.
Oh, it's good that it had a happy ending, though, and people did appreciate it.
Yeah.
In the end. That happens with a lot of movies, though, doesn't it? They're not appreciating their own time, like when they first released, and then they find their audience later, don't they?
But this is what I feel like. This is something I can definitely say about bad movies. Bad movies do not get instant love.
No.
Right? Bad movies are a cult thing. It takes time. It breathes. You can only really appreciate a bad movie many years later.
Yeah.
Because you see the effort they're trying to do, or you can see all their mistakes and appreciate and be baffled by them or appreciate them, right? In a weird way. Like, on the when you watch a bad movie for the very first time and it's like a big blockbuster movie or is in the cinema, you're watching a bad movie, you're not most of the time you're not going to sit there and go like, I really loved it because it's so shit.
No.
You need to stew on it.
And it's sad, really, because, like, the intentional, the bad movies like spoofs, like Sharknado type movies, they do pretty well, but they're aware that they are trashy movies, so they're not the best ones.
Yeah.
But they do better, and it's sad really, because the trashy movies that aren't aware of it are better,
exactly.
But they don't make money, like, you know, do really badly with the critics and whatnot. But they are better in terms of being a trashy movie
because it is purely sincere, and this is Kim's masterpiece. You know, this is him putting himself out there and really trying to make a movie, but then as the movie went on and it got more money and he had to spend so much money and the re-edits and the reshoots and everything else, it just crushed him. But he's now fully back on the scene. He totally loves it. And he may not, it's not like a Tommy Wiseau, for example, right? Where Tommy Wiseau from The Room has now officially like, oh, it was always meant to be a bad movie. Yeah, yeah, whatever. I can't do a Tommy Wiseau accent, if anyone knows that. That sounds Swedish.
You sound like a diehard baddie, didn't you?
I'm Hans Gruber. I am Paul Gruber. I am the cousin.
Like the blonde guy. You know, the blonde guy. I'm not going to hurt you.
Carl.
Warning sound.
Yep, cool.
So, movie starting now. God. Oh, look at the film stock.
Already. Somewhere in Miami. Somewhere. We don't know where. Oh, look at everyone. Look at them. Oh, that is... Oh. The gangster.
I like the way
hats.
They were posed like a photograph.
They were. Like, they're waiting to look cool before the gang comes in. Old gangsters dressed in suits, fucking Uzis and sunglasses, babes in blue lights. That is... If that's not the most 80s thing ever, I don't know what is. Look at them. Right, so somewhere in this, there's a jungle, clearly. Because this doesn't seem to have much of a connection yet.
I always think it's funny when you see ninjas in white, like they're not blending in at all.
At all.
They?
It's like you're failing the whole purpose of being a ninja. No, and all the snacks. There it is. They always do this in movies, don't they? Like, oh, let me taste the product. This is definitely cocaine and not powder.
I like the fact that they've got a hat like the... Remember those... The man from Del Monte?
Yes! They got two of them like that.
It's like... He reminded me of like a
oh, God! Ninja star to the neck! Now, take the coke! Oh! Right in the face! That looked like ketchup, though.
Yeah.
Don't fight a ninja! That's what happens when you fight ninjas. I love those kind of moves. They always seem to go, ah, extra, like, long. Like when Bruce Lee used to break a neck.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to put make a note of some of these bits.
Arm slice.
And if I come across more of these, I could put a tally next to it. Like.
I'm totally thinking, this is not the first arm being chopped today.
Right.
Does the white ninja do anything? Or you just sort of stand there going, go, my minions.
It's far too clean. He's been using, like, Daz.
He's like, I am the whitest, these are the whitest sheets.
So, let's actually break down what the flipping flop is this movie in terms of plot.
Right.
So, okay. So the movie starts in, where else? Miami. Somewhere in Miami. We don't know where. Okay. And it starts with what clearly is a drug deal happening, right? Between what looks like just regular Miami drug dealers who are all fantastically looking very sleazy.
Sleazy gangsters with Del Monte hats.
There were like two or three of them wearing Del Monte hats. I love it, right? I think it's because,
but they weren't testing pineapple juice. They were testing cocaine.
I love it. Because it goes like, yep. I love this in movies. I know what they do, but it's also like, it can't be that accurate. Just stabs a bag, rips it open, gets his teeth in, going, yeah, this is definitely cocaine. This isn't baby powder.
Yeah.
You know? It's ridiculous. So the cocaine thing was happening, right? And the whole thing. But there's an interaction between two rival gangs in bands. Well, we're not there yet. Gangs in Miami. And then out of fucking nowhere, ninjas show up.
Yeah. Are they on bikes at that point? Yeah.
They start off on bikes.
Yeah.
And then they seem to crawl in, because it's Miami, clearly, loads of palm trees hidden. It looked like a jungle. It didn't look like where they were supposed to be. Yeah?
Yeah.
A bunch of roly-polies and walking in the dark. And then, just as the drug deal's about to be over, ninjas come and kill everybody. Like, in the first 3 minutes, there's so much amazing, trashy 80s garbage in this.
Yeah.
So you have the sleazy biker, you have the sleazy sort of gangsters, you have the biker ninjas, you've got so much neon and smoke, you know, and gore. Like, a man gets his arm chopped off.
Straight away, yeah.
Yeah.
In the first fight. So the sleazy gangsters, they're obviously the guys that were in control of the drug trade. And
yes.
The ninjas, straight away, ninjas taking over.
Ninjas taking over, and we're stealing your cocaine.
Yeah.
It's like... What question, right? Okay, so, what do ninjas need? Why do ninjas need to also be drug dealers? Like, there's so many questions already. And why are they also bikers?
Ninjas normally assassins, aren't they?
Yeah, they're assassins. They're like hide guns.
Yeah.
And they're all supposed to be sneaky shit. Because there's loads of ninjas dressed in black, the way they're supposed to be. But there's one white ninja just standing, like, on the rim.
He's the master, though, isn't he?
Master ninja, right?
I suppose he isn't often in the shadows because he's often hidden away in, like, the dojo, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
Or, like, wherever.
Yeah, with the whiter sheets.
Yeah.
It's clearly someone keeps washing that gi all the time. Like, yeah. Constantly giving it a wash, right? It's amazing. It's pretty fucking white. And I love this bit. They suddenly appear in the dojo. There's a fucking, like, really Japanese dojo somewhere in Miami somewhere. And he reveals himself, the white ninja reveals himself and says, where is my money? And it's terribly dubbed.
Yeah, okay, it's awful.
All the characters are really badly dubbed, right?
And do you think it's like ADR, or it's just the fact that they were speaking in a different language?
I think a combination of both.
Yeah.
It's like, where's my money? Where's the money? You have failed me, ninjas. Mm. Right? And then this guy comes in with a fucking briefcase and says, I took the money. Remember this now. If you do not do this, you'll have your heads. This is the way of the Miami Ninja. And then it cuts right there, right into the titles. This is where we can clearly see we're in for a roller coaster of a ride.
First introduced to the title, the on the nose music, aren't we?
Yes. Now, interesting fact about this, okay? So the music is all originally written for the movie and stuff like that. It's not really any ripped off or whatever. But one of the things that I absolutely love is that, yeah, I believe it's that guy, right? Angelo, right? His name's Angelo Giannotti, right? Now, Angelo Giannotti was the mullet and mustache guy.
Okay, yeah.
He wrote all the music.
All right.
So he was the creator of Dragon Sound. So he wrote all the songs. The first song, literally, is called Escape from Miami. And it literally just sings about cocaine and ninjas and bikers and
just
fighting.
What happened in the intro, basically.
Exactly what happened in the intro. It's fucking fucking epic. Because it's sitting there like, how much more on the nose do you need to be?
Yeah. It's like things like sort of Team America, like sort of mimicked that kind of thing, didn't they? Like,
yeah.
They're like sort of movies. It's just in the '80s, you did get a bit of that, but not usually that much.
Yeah. So by that point, we're finally sort of introduced to it. We're introduced to everybody, like in a montage. So we've got the ninjas, we've got the bikers, we're introduced to the gang, who are all orpids. Now, we're saying orpids because the Kim can't speak English, right? And he can't pronounce orphans.
Yeah.
Every time he says orphans, he says orpans. Right? And we don't want to insult a man's language, but it's too funny where he says it constantly.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought we were all orphans. It's like, oh, good grief. So they're all orphans, right, who are also in a university, who are also in a Taekwondo electro rock band called Dragon Sound, and introduced to the first song. They're all dancing in the club and all that kind of shit. And that is how we're introduced to everyone. We barely get to know names or anything, and this all happens in the first 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's very music focused. It reminds me of like Purple Rain in terms of like lots of long like concert sections and stuff of playing the songs. It's like they really sort of like the director must have loved these songs. Like, I'm gonna. This movie's just gonna be songs and fighting.
Exactly. Do you know what? I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
So, Mullet Guy starts singing his song and all that kind of stuff. And then we're sort of now slowly introduced to the rest of the crew, rest of the band and so on. Because the bikers arrive at the club.
Yeah.
And the bikers arrive at the club, who are also ninjas. But this is another thing. We're no longer in Miami anymore, and we're barely in Miami ever since. A movie's called Miami Connection.
Yeah.
And we only spent it in Miami for about 5 minutes.
Just love that title, I reckon.
I think it is a connection, yes. Yeah. But there isn't much of... Why put Miami in it?
I think because in the 80s, Miami, like with things like Miami Vice,
yes,
it was just a big thing, wasn't it, Miami? So it's kind of like, oh, this will attract people to go and see this movie, but it didn't work.
It did not work at all. So they go to see that. So all the ninja bikers, the leader of the ninja bikers and all that, bring his crew in, and he's dressed in leather. He's a proper biker, right? And goes in and takes a seat and watches in. It's like, so... Oh, we got the band. And it's like saying, oh, and this is what happens. We got what seems to be the Orlando connection, as it were, who is the bearded guy who looks like a G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. The brother, right?
Generic action figure.
Yes. Who's sort of there, and he goes, hey, grabs in and walks in with him and says, like, right, I want to show you the club. This is the club we're going to do our negotiations with, so we can bring all the cocaine from Orlando to you and vice versa and everything else. Man, it's going to be dope, right? They go into the club, and the first, and I love it, the song that plays the moment those guys come in is Friends, and it's called Friends Forever, and it's basically talking about how the band are always going to be friends forever, right?
So great. I love the songs. I love them so much.
It's great. I fucking love it because not only are they on the nose, they're actually really well produced.
Yeah.
Very 80s, but perfect, the right kind of 80s. It isn't like overproduced or just anything else. It's just right on the money, right? Mm. And they walk in, and this is when we're introduced to the first of many bizarre plot lines, which don't really go anywhere because the bearded guy walks in with the head of the Miami Ninjas. And says, like, oh, look at the band there. And then says, isn't that your sister? Why is your sister with that band? Those Taekwondo people who are singing about how to fight ninjas. Do not worry. And he says, like, I didn't even know the band was going to be here, whatever it is. And said, like, he's shocked. He's like, why is my sister in this band? And we don't know why the sister's in the band. We don't know. Looks fucking weird, right? And they sing the song. Everyone's dancing. Fucking pyro. Everyone's happy, right?
He is really tall.
Well, I have a brother. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be going to this nice school and staying in the nice dorm I'm staying in. Except for one thing. I don't really like him.
Oh.
Well, I can't really explain it. I just don't like him.
Okay.
Well, they were divorced when I was young.
Is this an exposition dump or what?
She had a tough life.
Oh, God. There's too many things to write down.
And my father died a little while after he left us.
Oh.
But speaking of my brother,
I think we might have a few exposition dumps.
I think so. That was a full-blown, like, saying, oh, by the way, this is my brother. I don't like my brother. He's an asshole. Plus, my family's divorced and everything else. That's a lot to put in a minute.
He's extremely jealous.
So you know he joined our band?
I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
So are these guys supposed to be in... It looked like they're in the college.
They're supposed to be in university, yeah. So they are... They're an electro...
really old.
I know. And they're also all orphans, just to give you an extra bit of context. Uh-oh. Mr. Generic Beard Man's here, and he looks even more like G.I. Joe. He looks more like Action Man. Remember them?
What's this stuff, man? This is my friend John.
Well, Jeff, we're a lot of good things about you.
No, you haven't.
Where'd you find this son of a bitch?
He's a friend of mine from school.
A friend?
How can you act like that?
Shut up!
What? God damn.
That guy is not for you!
Oh.
What happened,
Steph? Shit. My God.
Friends? There is just some misunderstanding. You don't understand.
What?
Her brother. When I tell you leave her alone, leave her alone. Whatever you say. Just remember what I said if you don't want to get hurt. You don't scare me at all. Jane, I want to talk to you later. Goodbye.
Oh my
Goodbye.
God! That guy, I barely heard a word in Edgewise that way.
Terrible dialogue.
Yes. Oh, this list we're creating is making more.
We don't have to mention all of it, but if there's any,
this special... list is going forever.
If we reel it off, we could mention all of it quite quickly.
So here's the thing: like, if I'm having a bit of trouble remembering a lot of the scenes in this movie,
Now I can only remember. Like the music and the fighting.
Yeah, I mean, all the bits in between, they feel like filler, don't they?
Mm.
Right? Now, that's because it was.
Yeah.
Remember, this movie was shot 3 times.
Mm.
So a lot of it was padded with improvisational dialogue, which was supposed to be character development.
Right.
So do you remember, like, the bit we're first introduced to Tall Guy and the sister, right?
Yeah.
And they're walking down the...
outside the college.
The college. Mm. And how literally... Literally, the first thing you said, like, she starts talking about his brother, right? Mm. And then right after his brother talks about, talks about their parents divorcing and death and everything. And you're like, holy shit, this is a lot to throw at us in a minute. And it's because it was improvised, 100%. It wasn't a script.
All right. It just literally just crammed into, like, sort of 2 minutes, isn't it? All that information.
A lot of that dialogue. And you notice how we notice in the movie, like, how people talk over each other and whatever. Those are clearly improvised scenes, because how can you script that?
Yeah, the positioning, like, the marks of the blocking of the characters, they're all over the place, like, walking behind each other and stuff like that, and kind of, like, it's just not organised.
It's not organised, because this is done by a man who does not know how to make a movie, let alone script writing.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're all just a bunch of Taekwondo students, right?
Mm.
So they're improvising, trying to create, gives them some backstory and plot, which is, like, what the fuck? So, Tall Guy, who is, like, the basis for the band, I believe it is, right? Or whatever it is. He's holding the sister, who's also now clearly what seems to be his girlfriend or whatever it is, but not made entirely clear at the beginning.
I think they're just, like, dating, aren't
they? They're dating. Yeah. And then suddenly the brother arrives and gives him a... And goes and says, like... I love this bit. Because he goes and says, like, what are you doing with him? Oh, he's just a friend with me from college. I love it. He goes, a friend?!
Dead loud. And then eventually just punches him.
Yeah, literally that's his reaction. He's like, a friend?! Wallop! Fucking ace. So knocks him out, the Taekwondo guys come in and stop the fight, and it doesn't seem to get anywhere. Then it just abruptly cuts, and it cuts somewhere else. And it's really hard to follow by that point, because things just jump back and forth in forward in time, random filler scenes, and they're fucking great, but they are also really difficult to talk about.
Yeah. And they cut off as well, like mentioned, like the editing is awful.
Yes.
So it's kind of like a scene will just kind of, something is happening, and then it'll just end.
Yeah, and it will cut, like,
you'll go somewhere else.
And some of it will be like literally right after a sentence, so you haven't had time to absorb it.
Yeah.
You're like, now we're here. What the fuck happened? Right? This movie has been terribly spliced.
This is like a wrestling promo, you know, before a match. Like two wrestlers going at it.
They're just about to wallop. What, are you deaf? Oh, he's dropping it down. He's dropping the jacket down. Oh! Wait. How does... Okay, so the club manager knows Taekwondo now. Does anyone in the 80s knew Taekwondo? Because I would fucking love to have known. Epic stare down. And now we're back to this.
That was the worst angry acting I've ever seen.
I know. He's just going like, whatever. This band doesn't even play songs for kids. Which, what the fuck is that supposed to be?
But a few scenes later, we go back to the club. And this scene was fucking random, but we're introduced to Angry Guy.
Yeah.
Who looks like something out of Dixie's Midnight Runners.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he's going to break into Come On Eileen at any moment. And the thing is, he's often aggressive, like really like shouting aggressive. But at the same time, it's like someone acting aggressive that can't pull it off. So he doesn't naturally look aggressive. He's like shouting, but then when he's grabbing people, he's kind of grabbing them kind of gently.
Yeah.
But he's shouting at them, and he's kind of like, and but he's always got some distance between the people. So he's kind of like, it's not even sincere, like angry.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like the uncanny valley of anger.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I know you're angry, but you're not acting angry, but you're clearly angry because you're shouting.
Yeah.
I love it. Because this angry guy was part of the former band. They used to do the club.
Mm.
And he's pissed off they've been replaced with Dragon Sound, right? And he goes to the club manager and said, like, what? Look, and say, what are you? And the club manager, what are you doing here? And I said, I do not believe you replace us with this kind of trash. And I love it. These guys don't even play music for kids! Which I'm like, what does that even mean? Right? And so there's just constant, like, wailing and punching.
And they have a little scrap. It's great. But the manager of the club seems like he can do fighting as well, like Taekwondo as well.
Yeah, and it's the weird thing. It's like, that's the only scene with him in it. We don't see the manager ever again.
No, and he's like, you would think he would just sort of not, he just can do kind of normal kind of fighting, but he's actually doing martial arts.
He's doing Taekwondo.
Yeah.
And this is the thing we've noticed throughout the movie. A lot of random people in Orlando clearly know Taekwondo. So clearly, like, I know it's because everyone in the cast and crew are mostly all students of them, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's sitting there going, like, not everyone in this fucking user has been taught by the same guy, right? So it's really sort of random that he's able to really be able to pull a punch on these guys, right? Mm. And he's never brought up again, nothing. He disappears off the face of the planet and we never see him again. So at this point, the rival gang are saying, now let's try and just beat up let's beat up this band. Well, they're only like a bunch of, what, five members? We're part of a whole gang, right? Because we're connected to the Orlando mobsters, who are also connected to the Miami mobsters, who are biker ninjas.
They're so arrogant. They think they're the shit, don't they?
They are the shit, right? Dragon Sound have just finished a gig, I think.
Yeah.
And they're singing a call Against the Ninja, right? Mm. A song about fighting ninjas. Yeah. And the scene before it is actually with the brother talking to the head of the Miami ninjas, saying, like, you need to get rid of Dragon Sound so we can take over. It's like, what does this have to do with the drug trade? I don't know. So convoluted as fuck. And right after that, they seem to magically sing a song about ninjas. And this song is actually fucking epic because the lyrics are literally like, we're going to stop this evil war. You know, we've got to stop the hatred. You know, we're going to use the power of Taekwondo. Taekwondo, Taekwondo.
It's quite liberating, really.
It's empowering.
Yeah.
Like, you want to go and beat someone up when you listen to that. Like, fuck yeah, you know?
Is everyone going to do something, or are we just going to stare at each other's cars for a while?
It's a standoff.
It's unfair. It's four cars against one. Oh, they're coming out of their cars now. They're ready. Angry
guy. Like someone from like Dexter's Midnight Runners.
I was gonna say! Come on, Eileen! Oh, man.
I just get the job from Elton. Don't bother us.
Bullshit! Get out of this goddamn town and I'm gonna show
it. I love that guy's acting, it's hilarious.
Angry Guy is officially one of my favourites. We should put that on the list. Fucking Angry Guy.
This doesn't look like the welcome wagon.
No, really? You sussed that out already?
There you go.
Oh, that's a complete waste of beer.
Hey, you're not drinking it because it has beer.
Oh, kick to the face. Slow-mo.
Angry guy's shit fighting.
That's why he's flinging around the chain and shit. And wait, that's it? We're done?
Very abrupt cut.
That it? The fight's over?
Let's put terrible editing as well.
That's for sure.
So he kind of goes to one scene I remember by this point. They seem to fight off the they get introduced to the rival gang again, kind of thing, and they're driving, and there's four cars like in front of them.
Mm.
You remember that bit?
Yeah, that street brawl.
Yeah.
Is that the one that had like tough guys, like, or was that later?
That was later on.
I'm just remembering the music.
I know, right? It's really hard to remember it note for note. I mean, I've got the plot here, and even then, I'm thinking I don't remember that. Like, at all, right? Now,
but that fight in the street,
yeah,
that was kind of very, very odd in terms of, like, it was often in a wide shot.
Yes.
And it was just people doing anything they wanted and, like, really improvised, wasn't it?
Yeah, that felt really improvised. And then there were moments which clearly looked like we're going to do some super, like, some actual moments where Kim, like, does a fine double kick.
Yeah, and the only good bits were with him, obviously, in the fights. Like, just now and again you get a close-up of him fighting. But they'd often throw these slow-mo shots in there, which looked awful. Because back in the back then, you couldn't really do slow-mo good because you couldn't shoot at high frame rates. So you're just kind of shooting the same frame rate and you're kind of slowing it down. It looks kind of really jerky and horrible.
Yeah. But the fights, oddly enough, can we just say, though, the fights are actually surprisingly good.
Mm.
Like, they're actually really decent fight scenes because you've got a bunch of martial artists in there. Like, it's not like when people hire someone to do, like, martial arts movie and they have to train, but they're not really good and they have stunt doubles and shit. Well, this movie had a few stunt doubles.
Yeah, it's definitely not Street Fighter.
It's not Street Fighter.
Let's not talk about Street Fighter.
Oh, we've got... That movie will never get out of our minds, ever. So... There are some really cool fight sequences and really cool bits in the movie, which we'll go through as we speak. But it feels like jagged. Like, this bit actually just fucking ends, isn't it? Like, this fight scene just fucking ends, and now they're driving and they're back in the house.
There's just some horrible bits where, you know, when they're chasing each other, and there's lots of shots where they're just, looks like an angry mob just running down the street.
Ah!
It looked really weird.
I know, it feels really weird. And I'm not sure if this is the one, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was the one, right? Because they were fighting in the street. One of the fight scenes was actually interrupted by police who generally thought it was a brawl.
Could be that one.
I think it could be that one. Because
it was so chaotic. It was like no one knew what they were doing. They were just kind of going for it.
Ah! with pipes and bats and stuff. I wouldn't be surprised, actually.
I love the sound effects in this movie because there's some of them just sound, like some of the time there wasn't any sound effects put on, so that it sounded really sort of like when they're striking someone, it didn't sound. There was nothing there, no impact.
Yeah.
But then now and again, like we'd say, you say they're holding something metal, like the pipes.
Yeah.
You get this really sort of high ting kind of noise. Like a,
yeah.
It's like ding. A ting. It's great.
And the thing is, all the punches never sound hefty.
No.
All the whooshes don't sound hefty. I'd actually argue that one thing is the sound mixing in this movie is really bizarre.
Yeah, because usually these kind of movies, martial art movies, especially in the 80s, went full on with the punch sounds and stuff and kick sounds, like really like exaggerated. But this, I suppose he was trying to be more realistic.
How though? We got biker ninjas!
I know, but in terms of maybe he wanted the fights to be more realistic. And more like sound like real fighting, but it didn't really. You needed a little bit more impact sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's like I said, I think this movie, in a weird way, like I said, you know how that guy was the uncanny valley of like anger? This whole movie feels like an uncanny valley. It's like they're just a little bit short of like being this wondrously magical thing, right? By either going to full force or not.
How old are these guys?
Stop being such dicks.
Are they like six?
Oh, stop being such dicks. Let the guy have his letter. Get some
work done. You would have had enough done for that street. Yes, ma'am.
What's going on here?
Guys trying to wake up the neighbors or what?
Seen a fashion for one night?
Can you let him put on his goddamn pants at least?
What letter?
John, what happened?
I don't know. You won't tell me.
Huh? Well, because he's been a dick and stealing his letter.
What happened? Jim, what is this letter?
Give him a moment. Process.
No, we're pretty best friends.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, it's hiding from us from you guys.
Sure. I didn't know you had a father. I thought we are all orphans.
They're all orphans. Orphans. I don't know what an orphan is. Like a fish?
Why did it seem like that bit was in thought as well?
Yeah! I thought we were all orphans.
And my father was black American.
Oscar winning moment.
The tears, man. He's doing it all while being topless and with his pants halfway down.
Each other in their world oil. And we never saw him again. She told me to find him.
Oh my God, man!
I didn't lie to you because
we shouldn't be laughing. This is supposed to be a serious. This is supposed to be a very serious moment.
Whether he was dead or alive, nothing happened.
Shit! That guy doesn't know how to hit his mark. He was behind him all the time.
The entire time. You know what? I bet the guy who stole his letter must be like a real dick now. He's like, who's this? Your parents?
But so once the after fight's over, right? Mm. And this is where we're introduced to Orpins. They arrive home, and Jimmy, who's the black guy, who I think is the keyboard player, I think it is, or whatever it is, right? He's he gets a letter, but he didn't get a letter originally because the tall guy's being a dick.
Oh, he's teasing him like he's like 8 years old or something. Like,
so, we got a letter.
You can have it, you can have it. And he's sort of fake handing it to him, isn't he? Then he's snatching it away, like kids do. And these guys are meant to be like in their 20s, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like, stop being a dick. He's like, you got a letter. What is it? What's his letter about? And like, dude, chill the fuck out. Let him read it first.
Mm.
You know? So he opens up the letter. He reads it very dramatically, and this gets, I think, one of the only crying scene in the movie.
I love this scene. It's great. It's just, it's so, so funny. And it's not meant to be funny, is it?
I know. We feel like really bad people. But you know what? So he's talking about it. He opens up a letter, and he says, like, this is a letter. It's about my father. And it's like, and then he's like confused, like, wait a minute. What's happening here? Right? And it's like, I thought we were orphans. Like, what happened? And then he says, like, right. And he breaks into a flood of tears, but it's like baby whining crying, you know what I mean? It's not like sad crying. It's like,
yeah, it is. There is a whole thing of like little kids. They're all like little kids in the scene because you got the whole sort of teasing at the beginning. Yes. And then when he's crying, he sounds like a little kid that's just had a tantrum and is kind of like, he stole my toy from me kind of thing. It's that kind of like cry, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But the scenes must be really dramatic.
And you got underneath it, you got this really sad synthesizer going. And it's like really sort of would be kind of moving if the visual matched it properly.
But it didn't. And it's really shit because of it. Like, so he's talking about basically like my mother was South Korean and my father was African American. And I was thinking for a minute, it's like, I'm glad one of you guys was an African American, because my God, it would have been really awkward. Yeah. Right? So he says like, when my mother died, she gave me this picture. And his picture of the father, and so like, I need to go and find my father, and I don't know whether he's alive. He left me when he was so young, and I want to go there. No, you know, I'll let him be there. But this is the thing: there's a lot of random filler scenes in this movie.
Yeah,
like for example, them just going to the beach.
Beach bum shots.
Lots of beach bum shots and boobs and whatever, right?
It was like Baywatch, wasn't it, at that point?
Yeah.
Like, when you got the intro to Baywatch, it was shots of, like, bikini boobs and, like, bikini bums and stuff.
Male and female, just loads of them, right? And it's like, and just them driving the car going, woo, take your pants off, and whatever. It's like, what the hell? It's really weird, right? And that doesn't develop into anything, really, except talking about how, so we had this beating before, but we can beat them, yeah, whatever, right? Whatever it is. And they're flirting and random comical scenes that make no sense, right? Another random bit is where literally halfway through the movie, for no reason, there's this Taekwondo demonstration.
Yeah. It's really long. It's like very, very long. Like sort of a tutorial to Taekwondo.
Yeah, it's like...
tutorial video.
Yeah, it's like, this is how to do Taekwondo. First of all, this is me doing my kicks. So Kim's around just doing a whole bunch of kicks with nasty looking feet. Because they're just dirty as hell. Because he's doing it on grass, people.
Yeah.
And I love this. This is when we're introduced to something really nasty that I don't think you should be doing. Because he uses his fucking toes
to grab people in the face.
Ugh, you're gross.
And like, there's a bit where I swear he just gives the guy a toe job. He just like, it looks like, because he's grabbing the face.
Yeah.
It just looks like his toes are just in his mouth. I don't think they are, but it looks like
it's gross, right? Just don't look. Okay, foot fetishes out there, maybe this is for you, but nope. No toes, no dirty ass toes going near my nose and mouth, right?
Yeah, that is just a weird thing. I don't see why he needs to grab them by his feet.
He does this three times.
Yeah.
I think it's like Kim's sort of thing. Like Kim says, like, you know, I have my feet are so strong that I can lift someone up with just my toes, right? And he fucking does it. Yeah. And like, dude,
we've got to put that in there.
We've got to put it in there. Put it in again!
To the on the nose lyrics. Four now.
It's ridiculous. Oh my God. Oh, I won't. And they're literally just a bunch of bikers. Oh my sweet Jesus. Boobs! For no fucking reason, there's boobs in it. Butt shots.
Can I tell some more butt shots?
Yeah. Someone just literally mooned the screen. It's a butt shot.
Boobs.
They just come out of fucking nowhere.
That's why I'm calling them random boobs, not just boobs. Random
the
boobs.
The boobs. There they are, another...
It's not the same one, was it?
Oh, I'm not sure, but there's so many pairs of tits just coming out of nowhere. It's almost laughable, because it's like not even a build-up to like good tits. It's just tits.
Suddenly boobs.
Suddenly boobs. Suddenly. Dot, dot, dot. Tits.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Out of nowhere, they all go to a biker bar.
Yeah.
And they just fucking seem to drink and not talk about business, but they're clearly there to talk about business. Because, like, we need to get the business going, but we also need to stop Dragon Sound from getting worse. But this is where random boobs and butts appear.
Yeah, there's just that. I think there's three boob shots, random boob shots in that scene. And I think, to be honest, it was the time when that would attract people to watch movies, to know that there's boobs in it.
Yeah.
So I think they just threw them in there. Like.
But I don't think, this is what I think, I don't actually think it was the director's idea. This is what I'm convinced by. I'm convinced they left the camera running. And then just the, do you know how some people are like on front of a camera? They want to do something really stupid. So all the women
like at rock concerts and stuff.
100%, right? A random factoid, right? Mm. All the bikers in the movie were real bikers.
Oh, right.
That were paid with beer.
Oh, brilliant.
And 100 bikers showed up for the film's premiere.
Fantastic.
So this is technically a biker's movie.
And no wonder those scenes got chaotic, because how can you control bikers?
How can you control a bunch of gnarly, drunken bikers in leather? And that tiny kung fu, like that tiny taekwondo guy, is not going to go and direct them and say like, "Hey, can you stop with our boobs, please? Can you stop with the boobs, please?" They're not going to do that. He's going to go like, "What you say about my wife? My wife can flash anyone and everything."
Well, the reason why I. The two things why I found that kind of scene and lots of scenes really hard to follow is because there's lots of mumbly type dialogue, which is kind of like, it looks as if they should have done more takes to get it right, to get it more clear. And not only that, like the editing again, it's like, it's cutting to different angles, different people, it's jarring, it's like, well, where are they positioned? I can't tell who's where, and kind of like...
The geography and time is off. Yeah. Like, you don't know where anyone's standing, you don't know where anyone is. See, we're looking at the movie going like, I'm convinced we must have missed a minute or something.
Yeah.
Like, have it fallen asleep? It's like, no, we haven't fallen asleep, it just jumped a minute ahead than it should be, you know? But I mean, like, there are movies like that which are like the editing's pretty bad, but it's still coherent somehow. It's hard to be coherent with this movie, but it's almost, this is the weird thing, because we've been dissing the movie quite badly, but to be honest, we're loving it because it's almost comical about how the choices were made.
Yeah, and there's so much that's entertaining going on. You sometimes miss the bad things, like the imperfections, because apparently, I read upon it a little bit, and apparently there's so many, like, blunders, like where like the boom's in shot and there's people are crew in shot and this, but you don't always notice them because you're so distracted with how much fun is going on screen.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely moments. There was definitely one moment where we guarantee we saw two tourists walking past a bridge.
Yeah.
And we're thinking like, oh, they just kept it in. Well done. It's like, oh, good God. Like, there is a lot here. Yeah, because the next bit, one of my favourite bits afterwards, is the rival gang eventually now goes to see the Orlando gang and says, like, we want you to take down Dragon Sound, because if you do that, then we get our jobs back as the band. So your gang and my gang and your connection with the Miami Ninjas, we can go and take them down, right? This is angry guy again.
Yeah, doesn't he say, like...
You're all the Taekwondo, they're pretty bad.
Bad as in good. Like, yeah. Bad as in badass.
Yeah. Not like they're pretty bad. Well, they're pretty bad at Taekwondo. This is easy.
That was like a time in the 80s and 90s. You say bad and that means badass. No one used it as like meaning terrible anymore, did they?
Exactly.
Oh, she's going to find out and she's not going to be happy.
What is that outfit, though? What's your, what the fuck is that top? I don't give up. It's 80s fashion. I have to give up with it because it's just ridiculous.
Oh, God. It's so... The dialogue at times is so chaotic that everyone's talking at the same time. There's no, like... It's like they didn't rehearse anything.
It's so whiny and so improv'd as well. Like, you can't... Like, give us a moment to process things.
It's like these guys at the moment, in that scene, they weren't supposed to be background because they were the only people in shot. So
yeah.
You've got to hear each individual one and not have them all talking at the same time.
I know. Oh, good grief. Coors Light, the beer of ninjas.
I won't. I'll take care of myself, okay? I'm old enough to do that now. And if I want to see John, I will. Besides that, I love him. There's nothing you can do about it.
So I always love now.
It's just like... Like a Romeo and Juliet situation.
This is the weirdest Romeo and Juliet situation.
I've worked very hard to give you the best things in life.
You're from a family of Taekwondo. I'm connected to a family of ninjas. It'll never work.
As your brother now, listen to me. I don't want you to see him again, ever. I want you to go home now and remember what I said.
I'll go home. And you are terrible.
Yes.
You're terrible.
You're just so bad.
You're dead meat.
That son of a bitch. Right there.
Somebody's right. Pointing.
Right there, motherfucker. Right there. Oh, here we go. Oh. What?
Right here. Come on, boy.
Yeah, I'm just as confused as you are.
You can see that the comedy bits in it,
yeah,
like, they're kind of awkward, though, aren't they? Because you don't expect them. It's like funny, but in a different way. You're laughing at it, not with it.
Yeah, because why the fuck did Axl Rose just gyrate in front of the guy? You know he's going to get his ass kicked.
And then they fucking just go and do another brawl.
Yeah.
And the brawls are, again, they're good, but I can barely remember some of them.
No. You just remember, like, there's certain gory shots and stuff like that.
Oh, totally.
Certain things, like maybe an arm gets chopped off, maybe a sort of, there's a slice to the stomach or something like that. You just remember those visual bits, don't you? But you don't remember what happens as a whole, like in the fight.
I do not remember that at all. And it's really sort of weird, right? So they have the brawl and the fight, and they seem to, and it looks like the gang wins again. You know, the Dragon Sound win them again. Where it's only just three of them this time, because those are the three that are clearly like Taekwondo experts. You've got Jimmy, who's a black guy, who's clearly just going, wah, and the musician, who clearly all he gets beaten up and kidnapped.
Yeah.
Right? So he's not really part of it. This is a random piece. Right afterwards, two police go, but once all that happens, the officers come in. Two random police officers come out of nowhere, right? Mm. Now, this was a randomly piece, like a random, another additional scene they just added in.
Yeah.
Because there was another brawl happening, and the coppers were driving by and tried to stop this brawl.
Okay.
So they grab these police officers, right? They would grab these random police officers and said, can we add a scene with you in them? That's a bribery, right? So they apparently were so nervous that one of them points his pistol straight at his fellow officer's torso for being so nervous. So that was really, really bizarre. Like, these two coppers randomly appear. We never see from them again. They say a bunch of lines saying, like, oh, it must be one of the rival gangs. Because he never acted before, one of them was so nervous they nearly may have accidentally shot the other copper.
God's sake.
Like, wow. How he
waving his gun around, like,
this is the weird thing. How the coppers got stage fright?
Well, then, to be fair to them, though,
yeah,
if they haven't been on camera before, you would naturally have a bit of stage fright, you know.
True, but
camera shy.
True, but nearly, but maybe shooting the other copper by accident in the torso is pretty fucking bad, yeah. What are those shorts?
must give you a wedgie.
Male hot... They're like hot pads.
Those are so hot pads. Only in the 80s. Only in the 80s. Go, Karate Man! Does everyone knows Taekwondo? Everybody!
I'm glad we didn't see the guy in hot pants fight too much. I think he could pop out of there.
Oh, imagine that was the case. One man wiping team. They arrived just a little too late.
I am so sorry for what happened. I didn't mean. No,
you what are you sorry about? You knocked out like a whole gang of muggers.
Taekwondo is not just kicking and punching. Taekwondo is right here and right here.
All right, Mr. Miyagi.
Fucking hell!
Yes, Uncle John, I know what you mean. And I know what Taekwondo is all about.
Now, the restaurant, to my knowledge, is also run by another Korean guy, right?
Yeah.
Who I'm not entirely sure, but may actually have been the director.
Okay.
I can barely remember names. What happens is they go to this Korean restaurant about 3 times.
Yeah.
And the guy who runs the restaurant knows Taekwondo and can beat the crap out of anybody. Mm. I think he probably knows better. Because at one point, when he beats up like a whole bunch of guys, at one point, the gang just arrive. Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, I got a punch. Oh, I'm so sorry for the big. No, what the fuck? You just beat these guys up. And it comes with these random Mr. Miyagi words of wisdom.
I love it. Because he says, like, Taekwondo is not here. But pointing to his, like, he says Taekwondo is here, pointing to his heart, doesn't he?
Yes.
Taekwondo is here, up here, in the mind.
Yes.
And in the heart, not your fists.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It is totally Mr. Miyagi.
It is. And I've totally realised it is the director, which makes it even funnier. So the director is basically...
is the motivational speaker.
And the mastermind of, like, clearly the guy who may have trained them or whatever. But I love it because it's, like, randomly just eating, like, Korean food. Just like, nom, nom, nom. And he's just there at one point just smiling at them really awkwardly.
There's loads of long shots of him just grinning at them in, like, I'm happy with this scene.
I'm happy with this, yeah, right. But in the third time they go to the restaurant, you know, they all jump out of the car other than Mullet Man. And Mullet Man suddenly just gets fucking kidnapped.
Mullet Man.
Mullet Man.
He sounds like he should be a superhero, but he's not because he just gets captured all the time.
My God. And so then it's up to, and they start beating him up and everything else, take him to the gym, beats him up, you know, and he's going to, looks like he's going to fucking kill him terribly because some of the dialogue is really nasty. They say, I'm going to enjoy blowing his arms off bit by bit.
Yeah,
nasty fucker.
But it's so like, it's such a contrast though because when they first capture him, and shove him in the room, they just like, say, like, yeah, wait there, you jerk, or something like that. Like, really harsh, not harsh at all. And then later on, they say they're going to blow his arms off and stuff.
Jumping in levels, right? Fucking jumping in levels, right? And so they all go, and so therefore, Dragon Sound find out about this and try and fucking take things down, right? And this is where you get all the random shit. Now, I'm not sure if you remember this, but Jimmy is part of the party this time around, and he's holding this pipe. Now, what I love about it is, like, there's one bit where the goons are walking around trying to find the Dragon Sound. And then Jimmy, holding a pipe, jumps out of a barrel and wallops him in the head.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is, like, how long were you in that barrel for, waiting for a guy to get past you?
This is crazy.
So he's got that happening. You've got, like, people with giant spiky, like, bats. And it goes AWOL. Like, this is where it starts getting a bit gory. Like, people are starting to get, like a cut through the neck and through the eye and
yeah, there was
like
actually, there was actually one where a guy got his, like, face sliced and you actually see it.
It's, that is gross.
Quite nasty. It didn't look half bad, actually.
It's good effect.
Yeah.
It's good effect. And they finally do, like, they're getting up there, they're fighting, they're doing the brawl and everything else. They're getting up and they're going up and they're going up and going up, right? And then they finally just get the brother, like, there's only the brothers left now. And then he nudges them off like the edge of like a, some kind of like, you know, railing kind of thing, like at the top of like some kind of build, and dies.
Yeah, and it's slow motion, of course.
Slow motion death. Splat, right? So now the brother's dead.
Mm.
And we're kind of thinking, like, oh, shit. What's the sister going to think about it, right?
Yeah.
Because all the bits beforehand is, like, the sister saying, like, I'm going to do what I want, but I still love you. Just don't do something stupid. But also, leave me alone. But also, like, I love you. But leave me alone.
The dynamic is kind of like a bit of a Scarface type thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
The sister in Scarface is, like, aggressively overprotective of her, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they've kind of got that kind of a similar relationship.
They do. And it's really weird because it doesn't work with it.
Took ages to react, the other guy.
Like, do you not know your friend just mysteriously disappeared?
They're actually using a bit of stealth here.
I know, it's subtle.
Mind you, they're like, and they're not the ninjas either.
They're not the ninjas. Give me some of that shit.
There's so much 80s backlighting. I love it. It's like really heavy backlighting.
All the blue. So much blue.
Yeah, just like the editing's like really bad because, for example, that guy that was sitting down,
yeah.
You didn't see him sort of gelp or react, so it was weird when he all of a sudden was attacking the rest of them.
Like. Does it always feel like you're missing a few minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, epic stare down. Now that is awesome. What the hell is that?
Spiky weapon.
I love it. What's happening? Oh! Oh, shit. Oh, he's dead now. I wonder how his sister's going to react to this.
My father! I found my father! Oh, my God!
Yay! He's no longer an orphan! Oh, yay! We're gonna give you money for a suit to see your father! Yay! He is so happy. So overjoyed. Dude, put him down.
After all this build-up of building out, building up with the brother and all, the brother now dies, right? Okay? Soon after this, like, really fucking quickly, because the movie could cut, Jimmy gets a letter.
This, going back to this, like, plot line.
Again, because we've brought this up. Jimmy gets a letter, and I love the reaction to it, because he gets a letter. Like, he's gone to the mailbox, he gets a letter, he reads it, and he goes, my father! Oh, my God, my father! My father's alive!
Yay,
yeah!
Daddy.
Oh, my God!
I want to get my daddy back.
I know. He's so excited. And then the rest of the gang come out. They give him all the support. They put him on his fucking shoulders. They're going to buy him a suit. He's going to the airport to see him. The whole thing.
They're so nice. Like, the whole friendship vibe is, like, ridiculous. It's like, how much money do you have? We're all going to club together and buy you a suit. It's so nice.
That's not... But if I had all of this, like, look, we'll give you 50-50-50-50. Go, buy yourself a fucking suit. Like, great friends. Can my friends buy me suits, please? Can we just get me a suit, buddy? So they do that and they get dressed up. They're doing the whole thing. They're getting ready. And then just as because they're going to go and see... Jimmy's now to go and see his father, right? Finally. Mm. But at the same time, while this is happening, the Miami ninjas know that the brother is dead.
Mm.
And so they act revenge on it's the way of the Miami ninja. Right? Of course, like, fuck. So now the ninjas are now chasing after Dragon Sound because the Orlando gang couldn't do it. The rival gang couldn't do it.
So they're sending the ninjas in.
They're sending in the fucking ninjas. Mm. Now, this is the thing. the movie about, well, for a movie that's basically around biker ninjas, we barely saw the ninjas. We saw them at the beginning, at the end, but they are worth the wait, especially near the end, right?
Yeah, because most of the, up to this point, most of it was just like your Taekwondo guys and your, the other gang that's kind of like, they know, is it, do they know ninjutsu? Yeah, but they're not ninjas, are they?
No, they're not ninjas.
Yeah, they're just like, so it's just martial arts, like regular sort of martial art battles up to that point. No ninjas.
They're not in the outfits, you know? No. And we need them in the outfits.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. So they find, that's what is happening. Then tall guy and Jimmy and everyone else is driving in. And this is what I love. You know that whole plot line thing, like, oh shit, his brother's dead. How is she going to react to this?
Yeah, we thought it would really be an awkward scene and kind of she'd be really upset about it.
Yeah.
But no.
No, no, not that upset about it, apparently. And she goes and says, I'm sorry I haven't been around. You know, I have a lot to think about. Well, duh, because your brother died, right? But then it says, like, you know, I've been thinking about it and everything else. And I love the talk, guys. You know, we had to do what we had to do. It's like, did you? He kind of fell over.
Yeah.
Like, you could have done something. Like, you had taken him to the hospital or whatever. But no.
Kind of just pushed him off, like, a tower.
Yeah. But on top of that, it's all like saying, well, technically, he did kidnap Mullet Man.
Yeah.
But then you're thinking, like, and but then it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Are we still together? But then she, and then she said, like, you know, I really thought about it and I wanted to be away from you. But I know he's my brother, but my brother's a bad man. And I also realize I love you. So I want to be with you. And that's it. End of plot.
Yeah.
Plot line dropped. Done.
She's another one that's a bit of a mumbler, isn't she?
Yeah.
Her acting is terrible. But the thing is, she's got a lot of lines, so you really notice it.
Just talks like that, then she just I love you, but I know you killed my brother, but I love you
anyway.
It's like really quiet and mumbly like that.
Yeah. Jimmy would never acted before this movie, which makes sense. Actually, if you look at it. But also, he was also, before this, he was basically an estate, he was basically sort of like a real estate agent.
All right.
So he's basically a really, really good salesman, which I find really fucking brilliant. He went, after this, he went on to, after that, he never acted professionally again afterwards, right? He went on to be a successful sales career, working in the business equipment, radio advertising, and merchant services. He's currently sales VIP and live streaming online podcasting. So, Jimmy... Hello, name is Maurice Smith. Maurice Smith, could we join your podcast stream, please? Because we are big fans of your movie. I'm talking directly to the mic as we speak, because my God, we could work together, buddy. Right? So, he's good. So, yeah, it's a lot of these guys were not originally actors, and they never acted again afterwards. You know, so...
That happens a lot, though, with a lot of these movies we've seen. Like, like Troll 2, for example, that was one of our episodes. And a lot of those people, they just kind of... did acting that particular time and never did it again.
Yeah, because it was just thought, oh, it would be a bit of fun.
Yep. Biker ninjas.
Now, finally, will we see the final confrontation between Dragon Sound and the ultimate biker ninjas? Like, that's a confusing image, right? Because ninjas supposed to be quiet and subtle, and they're fucking Harley Davidsons.
The loudest bike ever.
You're not being subtle with these.
Oh, ninjas.
Oh, shit. Oh, these are the regular neighborhood ninjas.
Leave us alone. We have to catch a plane. Get out of the way.
You will never
make it to the airport. You are
paid
for Jeff's death.
Yeah!
All for Jeff.
All for fucking Jeff.
Come on, Jeff!
Guessing these guys are going to be a bit tougher than ninjas.
These are going to be tougher than the regular ones. Death scream was amazing! No, Jim! Fucking Jim! He just found his dad too! bastards.
Jim, we can make
him. Beat the ninjas first. All right, come on. You slice Jim. You would fucking get him. Yeah. Oh. Nasty. He is so angry and full of rage. The first slow-mo shot, fucking hell.
I think I'll stop counting with the slow-mo shots.
There's so many.
We'll just say multiple.
Oh, no. Tall guy's got slashed. Oh, goo. Oh, that blow went right into his face.
So there we go. So finally, we got all that through. That plot line's dropped. And we're now Jimmy's going to finally see his dad in a dress and a full suit. Who fucking arrives? The fucking ninjas arrive, don't they?
Yeah.
Right, so... I was waiting for you to say ninjas. So fucking ninjas arrive. And they bombard the car. And this is where... We finally get fight with ninjas, right? So samurai swords, people gets like arms like chopped off, back, chest, everything gets bloodied. It gets really kind of nasty. Yeah,
there's lots of like a lot of the gore is in this scene.
Yeah. Right? And so they're going, what? And then the tall guy goes fucking insane when his arm gets like, when his back gets scraped off with a ninja, with a samurai sword. And he goes, ah!
I love it when he takes his top off and he's got like blood all over him and he's just like got turning into like Rambo kind of
thing. He's got fucking bloodlust, you know? Like he's slicing people left, right, and center. Kim is slicing people left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Jimmy gets hurt. And gets sliced open. I'm like, oh no.
And his new suit as well.
That his friends bore him. Really fucking sad, mate. And it's like, oh no, Jimmy. Jimmy, don't die. Jimmy, don't die. Jimmy, don't die. And then they're angry. And those two are going and fucking beating all the ninjas.
They're like proper sobbing, aren't they? Like, Jimmy, Jimmy!
When Jimmy gets sliced, death scream is amazing. It's like, it goes on forever.
Yeah, it's really long. It's great. No! Kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you're thinking, like, I don't know. It's like, you're thinking, oh, she's going to die, he's going to die. But we'll continue on with a bit.
Uh-oh.
Boss, everybody's dead.
Oh, brilliant.
That was an over-exaggeration.
While all that is happening then, all the ninjas get killed off by these two crazy mofos, right? Which is really random because clearly they're driving towards through Orlando, halfway through Miami or something. They must be driving halfway through Miami or something because the white ninja shows up. Now, the white ninja, it seems to be in his dojo somewhere, which we thought was in Miami, but isn't. Because it fucking teleports. And I love it because one ninja's dragging his body in.
He's literally pulling himself by his sword, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, just like he's so wounded, he's kind of can't walk anymore. Probably.
I love it.
So he's just using his sword as like a cane, isn't he?
Yeah, like a crutch.
And he just says that they're all dead. They killed them all.
And then suddenly, the best of reaction I think I've ever seen.
The only decapitation in the movie.
And it just happens out of fucking nowhere as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good. We laughed so much at that bit.
Because it's like, everybody's dead. And the head is just like a fucking stump. And he goes, ha 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 ha. And there's a real long, awkward moment of silence.
Yeah.
This is what happened. The movie technically originally ends there.
All right, okay.
So the movie ends with the two guys beating all the ninjas.
Yeah.
Except the white ninja. The white ninja decapitates someone and planning revenge as if there was going to be a sequel to this.
Deary me.
And
Jimmy dies.
And Jimmy dies.
Yeah.
He never gets to see his dad. That's so tragic, right?
That must be why it seems so awkward that they added the dad in.
Which we will get to. Which we will fucking get to. All right? So, by that point, that's how the movie ended. right? Mm. But the issue was, when he showed the, that cut to distributors, right, they said the ending's too much of a downer, which, of course it is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they've, all the ninjas are dead, but holy hell, man. Like, that's... So the head of ninjas are still alive, ready to get revenge on Dragontown, and Jimmy's dead. Mm. Like, that's not how you end it. They had to go back and shoot. This is the third reshoot. And so they shot the fight scene with the ninja, right? So,
yeah.
But the original guy, the original Japanese guy, the sort of like, I think is Sim-Yong Jo-Yo or whatever it is, right? Sim-Yong Yo, I believe, right? Couldn't make it.
Mm.
So it was played by a white guy.
All right.
This is why when we looked at the fight and I said, that is clearly not him.
Yeah. And lots of, like, shots from, like, behind and stuff.
Yeah,
like.
But then even then, I saw some bits, and there's a bit where his mask goes off. Yeah. And you're like, dude, you are not the white ninja. Yeah? So, and he gets beaten. He gets beaten really sloppily as well. Like, it doesn't seem like this epic fight.
No, he's meant to be the master of the ninjas.
Yeah.
He should be a really sort of close fight, I would have thought.
Yeah, but no. It was kind of sloppy on both ends. Mm. Like, there was head rolls and, like, things just like almost like cat fighty almost. And then finally, he dies. And then Kim just walks away in, like, his Rambo, like, I have seen shit, man.
Yeah.
I've seen stuff. It's fucking terrible.
If the white ninja's supposed to be... I'm going to have to woe back. I'm confused if the white ninja's been done by different people. Because it looks like three different people are playing the same guy.
Yeah, probably. Probably had a stunt guy.
Like, but there's so many different ones for the same guy. Uh-oh. Has he beaten him?
Don't turn your back on a ninja, man.
Never turn your back on a ninja! Oh! That's ruined your whites, mate. That's never gonna come out.
Not even Daz. Take your time, mate.
You know.
Casual
walks in, say that you're after a ninja attack. That's his father?
The wounds weren't as deep as we initially thought. He did lose a lot of blood. But it was very little internal damage.
Oh, thank God. When can we see him?
He'll be out shortly.
Why does the dad look younger than the son?
If you have any problems, just give me a call.
So they've just added grey hair to him, but he's actually a younger man.
I know. Fucking hell, man.
Jim is like my brother. I would do anything for him. Anything.
Jim!
I would anything for him.
Anything. Would anything. Like, I'll make anything out of wood for him.
Jim, how do you feel?
Still hurts.
Of course it hurts.
Seeing you guys again. Seeing my father.
Jim, it's all over. Let's all go home.
Freeze frame.
And... only through the elimination of violence can we achieve world peace. But dude, you guys killed loads of fucking people.
Definitely.
Oh.
Then the shot we see, this is the ending, original ending, is as it were, Jimmy in the car, bleeding out, with Kim holding him in his arms and a tall guy driving, right? And this leads to...
Yeah, because I remember we watching it and we were like thinking, he's still alive?
How? He got sliced the fuck open! And he got sliced first, so he must have been bleeding out terribly.
Yeah.
Right? And the sun was setting too. It's like, oh shit. And Jimmy's like, I wanna see my dad. It's like, we gotta take it to a hospital, bud. They end up in the hospital.
Mm.
And then fucking out of nowhere, because he's not introduced properly, the dad shows up, sitting there with the rest of them.
Yeah, Jimmy Pop.
Right? And this is clearly what it is. He didn't look a thing like his picture. And here's the best bit. The father looks younger than the son.
Yeah, the only way they've tried to age him is by putting him in, like, having him, like, a grey wig and beard and stuff.
Yeah.
And put glasses on him as well. They're just using sort of, like, costume and kind of makeup whatever to make a younger guy older.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
It looks so off. He's so baby-faced, but with grey moustache and hair. You're thinking, like... But then you've got Jimmy, who's got wrinkles and looks fucking stressed out as hell and looks taller than him as well. Everything doesn't feel right with that. And it's like... Thank you. And it's like, I love it because Jimmy's dad basically, thank you. I nearly lost my son a second time.
His acting is awful, isn't it?
He's awful. He's wooden as fuck. Doesn't make any sense. And then the movie ends with a freeze frame of everyone just walking out of the hospital saying, we are changed men, but we're here to change the future. And then literally out of nowhere, if everyone stopped being violent to each other, we can say world peace or whatever the fuck it is. And it's something really stupid, but basically saying, stop being violent. Yeah. If you destroy violence, then we can finally have world peace. And then the music plays and it's fucking great. And the movie at the end is, the music at the end is like a combination of all the on the nose stuff. It's talking about how he's finally got to see his father, fucking ninja battle, the cocaine, a summary of the movie nearly at the end of it.
I mean, that's what happens when, you know, when you get the music written for the movie, it often can go that far on the nose, can't it? Like if they selected songs to place in the movie, it perhaps wouldn't have been that bad. But like,
yeah, but at the same time, that costs money.
Yeah. So, and I think that's part of his charm anyway.
I love it. I love how on the nose all the lyrics are. Which means if we get the soundtrack and actually listen from beginning to end, we know the plot of the movie.
Mm.
We know there's tough guys, for example. Yeah. What do you think of the movie as a whole?
I love it. And it's the thing is, with some bad movies, I can not sort of tolerate the kind of trashiness to them, and it makes me cringe, and it's kind of like, and I'm like, oh, for God's sake, I'm getting frustrated. But this movie has got so much entertaining distractions that you forgive a lot of the problems.
Yeah.
And you just kind of embrace it, and it's so much fun to watch that I just find it really enjoyable. And you'd think that it would be too busy with, like, ninjas, bikers, gangsters, martial arts, loads of fight scenes and stuff. You'd think it'd be... And rock bands and, like, all the music stuff. You'd think it'd be too busy, but all those things somehow work.
They somehow work, but they also don't work. Yeah. And I think that's why it works.
Yeah, it is. It is because there's too much that makes it funny and entertaining.
I mean, personally, I find it's funny because, to a point, we're trying to go through the plot and how I'm struggling to get through the plot.
Mm.
But when I remember something, it's like, oh, God damn, that was brilliant. Oh, that was stupid. Oh, that was wonderful. There's a cornucopia of, like, just pure 80s rubbish in it. It combines everything I love about 80s trash.
Yeah.
Right? With especially the music, and I love the martial arts, because the fight scenes were pretty decent. They weren't sloppy, except the last ninja fight. Everything else was, like, really good.
Yeah.
And it was entertainingly well done, and the fights were decent, and it looked great with the neon and all the smoke and everything else. It has an aesthetic to it. It's got a direction to it.
Mm.
Yes, there were moments you can clearly see this movie got shot and rewritten three times.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I totally think that this movie is a whale of a time, but it's also a bit draining, but it's also, once you get through it, you'll appreciate it 100%, because my God, there are some wacky moments.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the plot alone, the music, the biker gangs, the ninjas, the everything, it's all merged together into like a tiny little sort of bubble, and it's wonderful. I love it. I'd recommend it 100%.
Yeah, definitely. Because this, on our video, Trash Taster, we ranked this, didn't we?
Yeah.
It scored 60, which is like, just, it's about to go into too trashy, but it's trash. You consider it trash. So that's out of 100, that scale, and like the top of the 100 would be complete torture. Like, really, you can't tolerate it.
We can't tolerate it.
So that gives you an indication of what to expect.
This is basically an ideal trash tape. Because we don't want, like, a tame tape. We don't want a tiny bit trashy tape.
Mm.
We don't want a too trashy tape. And we don't want a torture tape. No. We want a trash tape. And this falls directly into that.
Mm.
So,
definitely.
Excellent. So, next time round, it will be Christmas.
Yes.
And so we are thinking then, well, I might have a little surprise, but we're definitely doing a Christmas movie. Definitely. Now, if you guys want to throw down in any kind of review or comments about what you think the Christmas movie is going to be.
Yeah, throw your suggestions in there because I'd love to see them.
Oh, there's loads. There's loads of bad Christmas movies. Like, I'm throwing something in there. We're all throwing something in there. We're going to figure out which one's the best one to do for this episode. Because if this keeps going, we've got a lot of Christmas movies to get through every fucking year. So, until next time, keep an eye on your trash. There may be some treasure in there.
See you later, guys.
Trash Tapes is a podcast created by Enigmatic Productions. It is hosted and created by Johan Chapul and co-starring Edward Harvey. If you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Acast, and Buzzsprout. You can also find more information about us on our social media sites. We have Instagram, which is under Enigmatic Productions. We have a Facebook page called under Studio Enigmatic, and we have a Twitter under Enigmatic_UK. For more information on the other kind of products and projects that we're up to, check out our website at www.enigmaticproductions.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it around with movie lovers you know, maybe add a star rating or write a good review. All of this helps with the algorithm and provides us with more opportunities to reach the ears to a whole new bunch of bad film fanatics. Want to find out more about us? Then head over to our socials where we provide sneak peeks and up-to-date news on everything nostalgic and trashy. You can find our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages in the description. So please, follow us. See you next time, cinephiles.